listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, and welcome to Journeys with JP. I am your host, your tour guide for the next couple of hours into the weird. Today is going to be weird and disturbing, yeah, because we, you know, I was talking with Eva last night about this time, about this character known as Jimmy Savile. Those in Britain, who are listening, I'm very happy if, anybody wants to call in. It is a particularly British thing, but it has an international scope because what we're uncovering in Britain is what will be uncovered in the rest of the world. It is in the process of being uncovered. It's very much like, you know, it's like a very thin sheet of paper over on top of a swimming pool under which a whole bunch of footballs have been held under the water. There's so much pressure for them to come up and come bursting through the thin sheet of paper. That's an interesting little analogy there. So I'd like to welcome you to Journeys. Tonight's journey is a journey into a dark place. I'm probably going to be talking about disturbing things. So those of you who are triggered by talk of child abuse, anything that happening to children, mind control, MK Ultra, please go and listen to some nice music and have a lovely couple of hours, and don't tune in. Tune right out now, because I don't know where I'm going to go with this, and I don't know why, but this is what I've been looking at this week, so I thought I'd bring some things together that we've discovered together on this very show. So here we are. If anybody in the UK wants to call in and join me on this, we're all there, you know, almost like the whole of the alternative community in Britain is now focusing on this issue. Now, this issue may not appear to be worth very much, you know. Okay, so there was this famous guy in Britain. Okay. But what's happening is this famous guy was friends, good friends, very public friends with lots and lots of people. Lots and lots. And when I say lots, we're talking people from the royal family, all through the royal family, through big business, through charity, through hospitals, through children's homes, through sporting celebrities, through music celebrities. He was friends with lots of people. And in the last couple of years since he died, people have been coming out. This man, I don't know if it's possible to convey the power that this man had over people, but he terrorized virtually an entire country for more or less 50 years. Oh, he wasn't alone. He certainly wasn't alone. He's like the loose hair that you start tugging on and you realize that it's a thread, and then the whole thing starts coming apart. So let's have a quick look at Jimmy Savile. He was a nightclub owner. That's where his story apparently starts. He was a nightclub owner in Leeds, which is in the north of England. He was connected with musicians from that area, and he would have contact with all the different people. Yeah, if you own a nightclub, all right, let's get down to reality, right? If you own a nightclub, you're going to be dealing with some of the worst people in the world. I mean, you've got the local mafia, whoever's making money, they'd like a little cut. And the government also, you know, same thing. And he'll know drug dealers, he'll know pimps. There'll be that sort of element moving past. That's where you get your bouncers, you know, as you used to get the bouncers, and from thugland, from gangland. And so he would work, as they say, very closely with these people. So, by the way, if you want to contribute, please type in very large letters, very large pensioner size letters. You don't know what a pensioner is. In Britain, a pensioner is an old person, it's someone who takes the old age pension. Pensioners. So this nightclub owner, he somehow finds his way into the local BBC, starts working as a disc jockey there, gets in with the people. He's got pretty much of a kind of open history on the surface. It's like he was this very glitzy. He always wore very loud colours. And in fact, dressed like a pimp, except we didn't know what a pimp looked like. So he dressed like a kind of New York pimp. He had the big cigar. He had peroxide blonde hair. He had lots of little catchphrases. Jingle, jangle, jingle, jangle. Yeah, how's about that then? All that sort of thing. It was a very smooth talker. He could persuade anybody, anything. And, you know, when his smooth tongue didn't work, he would then resort to threats, because he knew everybody, including all the local police and all the local judges, and they're all his friends. Yeah, guess why? Well, you know, there are societies of that. And he used them. And they used him. Now, so as I was growing up, and as we in Britain were growing up, I'm in my 50s now, so this is in the 60s, the heyday of rock and roll, of pop music. And he was like the premier guy of pop music. He was like, he was the pop promoter, he was the pop DJ, plays the hits. If it was not on Jimmy Savile's show, then, you know, and then, he would then, do a television show, and it did like the first, TV show with music, you know, what later became MTV, in this otherwise incredibly arid television black and white atmosphere. He brought in this thing called Top of the Pops, and it had loud music, it had camera angles, it had brightly colored brightly gray, because it was all black and white until then. Anyway, so now it turns out that the first Top of the Pops was held in a deconsecrated church. And what seems to be coming out is a thread that behind this kind of light purple, glitzy, blonde, sparkly kind of character, there was a much darker, really dark, and really disgusting thread that runs behind it. But like I say, when you start tugging at this thread, a lot more starts to unfold. So, now, here's the thing. I'm going to have to be able to tell you a story that is a kind of purport. It's a what if. Because the story that we've been given so far, the official narrative, very much like the official narrative of 9/11, is patently fake. So, we have all these people who are pop stars. Oh dear. I mean, when I was a kid, I used to love some of these people. I used to love the Shadows. My dad used to love the Shadows. And, you know, the Shadows were the backing band of one internationally famous pop star known as Cliff Richard, or Harry Webb. This gentleman had a famous song. Oh, son, you'll be a bachelor boy, and that's the way you stay. You know, he was a bachelor boy, you know, and that was back in the day when being gay wasn't cool. So he was a bachelor. And all these other bachelors, right? So a bachelor isn't, you know, it was a euphemism. So Ted Heath, the Prime Minister, was a bachelor. And now we understand that bachelor obviously means homosexual pedophile. We can't form proper relationships with anybody. Anyway, so Cliff Richard. He's one of the latest. But it's very interesting to see the photographs. You know, you look back at these photographs and you think, ah, there's Jimmy Savile. Ah, there's Frank Bruno, the heavyweight boxer. And there's Peter Sutcliffe, the so-called Yorkshire Ripper. Now, we'll just leave those in the basket for now, because we'll have to come up, look at these people later. We're now still back, you know, during the 70s, and he's friends with, in the 60s, he's friends with Cliff Richard. Okay, so now Richard's been busted, you know, pedophilia, boom. And then there's all the comedians, and then there's Rolf Harris, who's just been busted, 12 counts of assault. And then there's all these other DJs, Dave Lee Travis. I think DLT got off, you know, so some of them actually weren't bad. I don't know about Kid Jensen, whether Kid was his nickname or what his preference was. Did he recently have white hair? Yeah, well, he was very old by the time that he finally left his body, if he did indeed leave his body. Yeah, I'm just having a quick look down at the chat room here. Savile ended up with white hair as an old man, and but he always from the 70s onwards. So yeah, I'll talk about that later. He was a TV DJ. He was a radio personality. You heard his voice at least 3 times a week. If you didn't watch him on TV, he was on the radio. And, you know, there was only one or two radio stations then as well, you know. So right in the middle of the tiny thin stream of information we were getting, there he was, stood there. And he was ostensibly this man... Did a lot for charity. Yes, he did a lot for charity, it seems. He raised lots of money. And now I'm beginning to question that. I'm beginning to question, okay, so he raised money for children's homes, for instance, which he would then be given the keys to. So probably he would do a deal, all right? I'll raise money for you. And he would... he would go on marathons. He was an incredibly physical person. I mean, he would do these marathon runs and, you know, he'd be jogging along and they'd be interviewing and he'd be talking and chatting away and all these things. And, you know, he had an immense amount of physical power, and presence. And now from people's, recollection of him, he was an overpowering person. He would do things without permission, you know. that's the nice way of putting it. But he would, you know, ostensibly, again, he would be helping, he would be helping print charitable events, helping children. It was all about children's homes and all this stuff. Now, when the lid comes off, we start to see the sinister thread that lies behind the whole thing. Okay, so turns out that instead of just raising money for charity, what he was doing, he was grooming these buildings, grooming these hospitals. And he would walk the wards at night and molest anything that was there. And then if anybody would say, he would use the emotional blackmail, said, "Oh, you don't want to expose me. Think of all the children that would lose the money." Actually, that's a terrible Jimmy Savile impression, but anyway, the next one might be better. Really, I don't want to bring his spirit into it. I mean, it got to the point the other day, I was just reading so much about this character, I was almost beginning to feel infested by it. I had to have a shower. Tax deductible. So, now, okay, so we go back, we have children's hospitals, and he's raising money for them ostensibly, and I'm wondering now, since he had so many gangland connections, could it be that the money that he was raising was actually some kind of laundering situation? It might be worthwhile investigating the financial links. Now, what has happened, as Eva came up with last night, you know, there's this word trust. Yeah. The hospital system in Britain has been completely rearranged. Who runs it, who's responsible for things, all of these things are now no longer at a local level. They're at different levels of semi-national quangos called trusts. And they assign to each hospital what they're going to be doing. So instead of having a general hospital, you'll have a blind hospital or a head hospital or a foot hospital over there. You know, very much like what the globalist group are doing to the Earth. You know, instead of being able to support itself, Ghana becomes the country where they grow chocolate. You know, that sort of thing. So. The same thing's been going on in Britain with the churches, with the interesting, with the hospitals, and so it's now very difficult to trace back the paperwork to find out what went on in the 60s and 70s because the records have all been moved, sent to enormous warehouses where they're sent to be shredded and all this stuff. Anyway, so yes, Jimmy Savile was a rather eccentric. Yeah, people would say he was eccentric. People would say, yeah, he's an eccentric bachelor. Now we know what an eccentric bachelor is these days, and you don't want to hang around eccentric bachelors, especially if you've got kids around you, basically. So, nice cup of British tea. Meanwhile, I believe, and I discussed this with Thomas Sheridan from Ireland, who's also been investigating and studying the thing. I'd like to have Bill Maloney on the show if I can see if I can get him on. Maybe do a pre-record. He's Pie and Mash Films in the UK. Check him out on website. Bill Maloney, M-O-L-O-N-E-Y. He's doing a sterling job. Excellent bloke. And of course, Thomas Sheridan. Anyway, so I had him on my other show, Ever Beyond, a few months ago. And the YouTube from it has actually gone a bit viral. He clipped out a conversation that we had about Savile. And that his idea... And I support him on that, is that the Savile was actually the person responsible for the murders, or he was at least colluding in the murders of the so-called Yorkshire Ripper. So what I'm considering. Okay, so if you listen, it's called Walpurgis Night. You can go to www.everbeyondradio.com. Right, it's a new site. I'm just building it right now. Everbeyondradio.com. And look in the archives and look under Ever Beyond the Archives. And it's called Walpurgis Night, which was the first meeting of the Bilderbergers. It's a book that Thomas has written. But during this interview, Thomas and I start talking about Saville and his conjecture that the murders that were attributed to the Yorkshire Ripper were actually him and this other guy. But we took it a bit deeper than that. So from that point, we thought, you know, why is he doing it? Well, you know, what's all this about? And it turns out, God, this is getting harrowing. Turns out that he and another British politician who's known as Cyril Smith. You can look him up, Cyril Smith. If anybody's ever seen Dune and Baron Harkonnen, that's Cyril Smith. He was a mountain of a guy, real huge blubbery creature. And it turns out that he and Saville were witnessed in satanic rituals. So this is where it starts getting interesting. Okay, satanic rituals. Who do we know who does lots of satanic rituals, who might be like a Queen of England? The Queen of England. He's friends with them, isn't he? All right, so that's interesting. So does friend, you know, so now we're talking euphemisms, right? A bachelor seems to be a rampant paedophile. So is a friend a fellow Satanist? Is a friend somebody that you do rituals with? Is a friend somebody that you just pose for a photo with? Anyway, so we have Saville. We have a potential link to Satanism. Now, Saville did appear to have all the magician's artifacts. He had a wand. He would always have an enormous cigar. He was always puffing on cigars and always had a cigar in his hand. He would wave it around when he was talking. So, yeah, there's his wand. And he also had his magic words, you know, jingle, jangle, oh, you know, guys and girls, all this stuff. He did all these little vocal things, you know. Which at the time we thought were just kind of slightly disturbing and otherwise innocuous. So, hang on. I need to drink lots of tea with this. This is quite a harrowing thing. Because it not only deconstructs my childhood and my age groups, it destroys an awful lot of our glamours, a lot of illusions, which is no bad thing. But it's still quite a shock, you know, when the curtain is drawn back to see what's behind it. Anyway, so let's continue down behind the curtain. Saville the Wizard. There are photographs, of course. You'll find, you know, everybody in those days was into black magic, you know, like Led Zeppelin, you know, everybody's, so, cause it was just a thing. It was just a gimmick. Everybody was doing that sort of thing. So we have, Saville. We have now Saville was also known to wander into the Knesset and give them advice. He seemed to have access everywhere. Now, we've learned, us Freedom Truther people, have learned that there's an organization they call the Masons, the Freemasons, and there are good Freemasons and the bad Freemasons, and, well, basically it seems that the Freemasonic group has been infiltrated. They've created their own kind of fake higher degrees, which the oath-taking ceremony of which usually involves doing something very bad, very horrendous, that you would never, ever, ever want anyone to ever find out. And then they get worse as you go up the degrees. I'm sure that the lower degrees are seemingly more innocuous than the other ones. But things get real after a period. You know, we've all seen the movies where the oaths get more and more intense and involve death and now pedophilia and all these things. Anyway. So we've seen that Saville's friends or fellow Satanists include people like, oh, those oh-so-funny comedians, yes, and those wonderful singers. Now, Cliff Richard, Sir Cliff, knights, lots of OBEs, right? Maybe an OBE probably stands for something. Yeah, dun 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 dun. So there's lots of people who have got OBEs that seem to be involved in this whole pedophile ring. So anyway, so let's just keep expanding it. So we have all these celebrities and they're all being connected. And now let's bring in the Bullingdon Club, because we have to. The Bullingdon Club is the British equivalent to the Skull and Bone Society. So, it's from Oxford University, and it usually comprises the children of the super rich, the insanely rich. And they send them to these awful schools, which traumatize them further, as if they're not traumatized at home enough. This produces the psychopath leader of the future for Britain, and most British prime ministers have been through this Eton and Oxford University kind of path, so you know that's where they go to mind control and traumatize them into how to run a country, how to be psychopathic enough to run a country. So there is a new film out, and it's called Riot Club, and it's about a club called the Bullingdon Club. You can Google it. Google Boris Johnson, David Cameron, Bullingdon Club, and see where that leads you. The oath-taking ceremony for joining the Bullingdon Club is a very interesting, first of all, the first thing that they do is, when you want to join, they go into your room and smash everything up, all of your possessions, all of your belongings, and leave. So that's the first thing that they do. They destroy everything about who you are. Then, the next thing is you book a table at a restaurant. And there are things that you do. I'll talk about those later I'll talk about them now. What you do first, you book a restaurant, and then you take an insurance policy out on the restaurant that the restaurant were to be destroyed in some particular way. Anyway. Some usually unlikely way. Because, you know, in general, things don't get destroyed. You know, yeah, a chair may break, plates may break, but not the whole thing, not all the mirrors, not, you know. Anyway, so the club will go out, and this is what the film is about, and there is also a TV documentary, well, mockumentary thing called When Boris Met Dave. Now, if you can see it, I think you can get it on Vimeo. When Boris Met Dave. And it's all about Boris Johnson and Dave Cameron, our Mayor of London and the Prime Minister of Britain. Prime Minister of England now. Who were part of it at the same time, along with Jay Rockefeller. And what they got up to, which is basically, you go to a restaurant and somebody will start a fight. And then everybody joins in the fight and everything in the restaurant is destroyed. Mirrors on the wall, everything, chandeliers, lights, everything must be broken. Nothing must be left. That's the rule of the thing. And blood must be spilled. There must be blood on the walls. So once that's all over, the person who is joining the Bullingdon Club, remember, this is where it is, right? The person who is joining the Bullingdon Club will then go up to the restaurant owner and literally throw money at them, throw thousands and thousands of pounds at them. More than enough, more than plenty enough to refit the restaurant. Absolutely scads of money, because these are super rich people. And then they all go home. Meanwhile, the insurance policy that they took out has been triggered. And so enough money is paid out to the person to pay for all that money, all the money that they're throwing at them. And everybody's happy. So that's the story of the Bullingdon Club. Now, if you then look at many of the great, quote, disasters, unquote, of the last 100 or so years, or maybe even more, maybe even longer back, we could look at this. In Britain, we call it an insurance job. Oh, yeah, he lost his car. Oh, yeah, right, yeah, I bet that's an insurance job. That's what we call it. You know, when somebody destroys something deliberately in order to get the insurance money, it's called an insurance job. So for sure, that's what we call it. Anyway, turns out that the Titanic, the sinking of the Titanic, was one such job. Now, we know that it wasn't actually the Titanic that sank. It was the Olympic, which had been dented and broken anyway. And so they sent them across on a fake ship that had the name tags welded on, saying the Titanic. And there wasn't enough time to transfer all the Titanic lifeboats. So loads of people died, etc. We know the story. But essentially, it was an insurance job. It was a false flag. As we call them these days. Coming back up to the present time, we have the same thing going on 9/11. Somebody's been learning some lessons. You will probably find that many of these large disasters, there's some kind of insurance payout that's behind it. And that's the, there was Larry Silverstein. Very openly had taken out insurance policies. Yeah, right. You know, I wonder where he went to school. Interesting. Squirrel stock take. Yeah, so, where are we? Yes, Cortec, thank you. So we're looking at this. And we're looking at oath-taking ceremonies and how you join these groups. You have to do something pretty horrendous that you don't want anybody to know about. Fraud is pretty horrendous. Okay, so that's like one of the base things. You do an insurance fraud. That's how you join the club. Okay? And that becomes your MO. That becomes how you go about your work. It starts off fraudulent and then it just gets worse. It just continues. Anyway, these are, of course, satanic principles. you know, destruction. And of course, if you have, you have your investments in, building trades, people who refit restaurants, for instance, you may also, be able to do a threefer instead of just a twofer. So, now, let's go. Let's go, back and, so we've got this, secret society that, David Cameron and, Boris Johnson are members of. It's not the only one. Members of lots of secret societies. We know that. We know that they're Bilderbergers. We know that they've been friends with all the different Bilderbergers over the years. Yeah. Lots of Bilderbergers are resigning just now. That's an interesting thing. Anyway, another show, another story. So we've got this thread of Saville coming all the way through the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And so we see that Saville was a procurer. He would bring... All right, so this is a harrowing, warning, harrowing bit coming. He would go around to children's homes wherever there were the Masonic events, and of course, with VIPs, VIPs are treated very well. That's because they're very important, apparently, and they have, you know, people got habits, you know. So if somebody's got a heroin habit, he'll be able to go and get some heroin for them. And if they like, you know, booze or absinthe or, you know, more esoteric wants and needs, he would know where to get them. Saville. Cause he was a nightclub owner and he dwelt in the underworld. He had a very glitzy public persona, but he dwelt in the underworld. So he knew where to get anything. So. Some VIPs might have very esoteric tastes. Some VIPs might like, well, you know, the standard, lots of them like women, you know, so, you know, get your woman, that's not a problem. Yeah, you like girls? Yeah, whatever you want. Because in that world, whatever people want is whatever people get. No questions. So, if people like children, then there will be children that will be got. So, we know that he was a procurer. Now, he was a fixer. And very cynically, in the 70s, he had a TV show called Jim'll Fix It, where young people would write in and say, oh, I've never seen Michael Jackson. Can I meet Michael Jackson? And so he brings them over to Michael Jackson thing and gives them a good... Yeah, anyway. So, he would do this TV program, now obviously very cynically called Jim'll Fix It, because Jim was a fixer. He would go along, and this is now in public record, unbelievably large numbers of establishments. Okay, first of all, you know, we heard about this place in Jersey or Guernsey. A Channel Island called Haute de la Reine, which was, it used to be frequented by a certain bachelor prime minister of Britain called Edward Heath. Another renowned bachelor. Now we know what a bachelor is, eh? So, Edward Heath was a very well-known public persona. He was also well-known for riding a yacht called the Morning Cloud. And he would go over to Guernsey and he would take people, he would take young people, children or young adults, out on the road, on the boat. And that's the last they would ever seen. Because what he did to them was horrendous. I don't even want to talk about what he would do, but imagine that anybody who would witness that would either have to be part of it and keep their mouth shut, or would probably have to die. And there's probably a very large number of mutilated young people's bodies at the bottom of the English Channel. It's hard work, I'm sorry. So, former Prime Minister Edward Heath, paedophile, murderer, predator. He would take on the boat Jimmy Savile, aforementioned Satanist, murderer, paedophile, also another man whose name was Wilfred Bramble. Now, there's a charming old British TV show from the 60s and early 70s called Steptoe and Son. I don't know if you've ever heard of Steptoe and Son, but it's two men, father and son, who run a scrapyard. And it's a comedy show. And the catchphrase is that the father will do something rather, you know, dreadful, and the son will go, "Oh, you dirty old man." And the old man turns out to be Wilfred Bramble, who used to go on the yacht, the Morning Cloud, to Guernsey with Edward Heath. So it now seems that when we hear Harry H. Corbett say to Wilfred Bramble, "You dirty old man," he really meant it. He really, really meant it, because he would have known. So Jimmy Savile's friends turn out to be Satanists, murderers, paedophiles, and politicians. Meanwhile, back at the Bullingdon Club, David Cameron, we haven't got anything on him. He's a doughboy. He's like a Pillsbury doughboy face. Cabbage Patch Dolls. You remember them? Cabbage Patch Dolls. You could easily make a David Cameron Cabbage Patch Doll, because he's got that sort of face. Much like a stocking stuffed with kapok. Anyway. David Cameron. Boris Johnson appears to be very blundering and buffoonery and I don't really know what's going on. Yeah, very British. Are they paedophiles? Dunno. Who knows? I mean, certainly the fact that he's an idiot, but he's actually come up with some good things. He's not Ken Livingstone. We want Ken Livingstone. He was great. He was a great mayor of London. Meanwhile, behind the glitzy establishment lays the dark thread of the paedophile rings. The paedophile rings that have surrounded Number 10, all the ministries, people in power, all the Freemasons in the higher degrees, all involved. And somewhere along the line, there have to be some murders. Ritual murders. We've heard about Satanism. That's what they do. They take people and they take their energy and they use their energy to open portals and things like that. But in general, they'll take it out of a body. Now, what happens to the body? You know, nobody thinks about what, you know, that. Very little, you know. Very few people think, what happens to the bodies of the people after the satanic rituals, which seem to be happening quite a lot, okay? Because the world is going to shit, isn't it? that's got to be why what they're doing, you know. So what happens is you've got you have to have people who fix things to get rid of the bodies. So, brothers and sisters, I say to you, that people who have been labeled as so-called serial killers may actually simply be the people who dispose of bodies after satanic rituals. Because somebody's got to do it. because the rituals will continue. So, I believe that these rituals are ongoing, that there are people today who are doing this same job, disposing of the bodies, and that every so often they'll put a patsy up, or they'll create some sort of campaign, some false campaign. We'll talk about the Ripper in a minute. But what I'm saying is we're understanding the idea of what a false flag operation is. You know, they've got an agenda, they do something really audacious, and they run it through the press, and they push the press to do all this stuff, and it changes public opinion. Problem, reaction, solution. Oh, there's got to be a law against this. A law is created that is exactly what they wanted to do in the first place. So it's a shell game. It's a trick. It's a scam. Like all of the powers that be. It's, you know, all the way back to religion. Tied over 10% of your money to God, and you'll have a good year. Yeah, right. Oh, good idea. I'm sure God can do with the money, since he's infinite energy. Right, okay. Meanwhile, I'm just going to have a quick look down at the back of the back down the chat room, just in case you're talking about anything that I might be interested in. Yeah, okay, right, okay, so there we go. Murder, disposal by proxy, yes. So, basically, here's my new theory. It's a few weeks old, but basically, if you see in the press a purported serial killer, and that there seems to be some connection with pagan dates after which these bodies are found, consider that there may be a false persona created, because that's the idea of the Jack the Ripper, the prostitute murdering, graffiti scratching so-called person who killed these people in Victorian London. There are a few theories about it. One of the theories is that it was because they were free, you know, basically they cut them open in a particular way, which is exactly the same as the Freemason rite. So it was that's how they kind of figured this one out. But basically, the women who were eviscerated in certain ways were done it in a very signature and clinical way that could only have been done by a surgeon from the Freemasons, knowing this kind of thing. So. Again, ritual murders. Ritual murders seem to be happening, and yes. Oh, I've got some more names. I've got some more names, brothers and sisters. I want to name as many as I can tonight, because this has got to stop. You know, I don't know, maybe 100, couple of people listening to this, but hopefully it'll go out. Let me just have a quick look. So. We have Jimmy Savile with his friends, people, all right. So who else were Jimmy Savile's friends over the years? Like I said, Wilfred Bramble. Now, Wilfred Bramble is the old man that you will see in the Beatles film, A Hard Day's Night, and you'll see him in the cage. If you want to Google what Wilfred Bramble looked like, you look at the film that goes with it. You've Got to Hide Your Love Away by the Beatles, and you'll see they're in this like prison cell cage, he's this other guy who's in there with them. He plays his granddad, you know. So turns out that he's a murderous paedophile. You know, was he a bachelor? I don't know if he was a bachelor. Maybe, you know, whatever cover story they may have. This is a horrendous thing to do because it's, I'm basically having to deconstruct all of my, my childhood memories for, and replace them with the truth. And that can be quite hard work. So, let's go back to the chat room. There we go. Do, if anybody would like to call in and discuss this with me, I'd be very happy to bounce this idea off people. You know, am I talking rubbish? I don't know. I might be talking rubbish. I might be completely accusing such and such of this. But all of this information is now in the public domain, apart from the bit that I've thought about myself and that I've discussed. Actually, even that's in the public domain because it's on YouTube with Thomas Sheridan. You know, several hundred people have watched that one. So, back to this. Turns out that Saville is connected with satanic worship. He was identified by children who were held captive and forced to go through satanic ritual. They said that there were two men in masks. One was enormously huge and fat, and the other had blonde hair and big ears. And you know, that describes Saville and Cyril Smith. Okay, Cyril Smith also outed recently as serial pedophile. Jimmy Saville, I have to remind everybody who hasn't heard about this, he was a British disc jockey who became connected with everybody. And now we're finding out why. All of his friends turn out to be Satanists. So, it turns out also that more complaints about sexual molestation and abuse and rape and witnessing of other things I'll talk about in a minute. It gets worse. More reports have been made to the police about this man than any other human being in Britain regarding molestation or sexual abuse. In the hundreds. This guy was active for over 50 years, and it's like hundreds and hundreds of traumatized people are coming forward to say their bit. This is what he did to me. And he did it to so many people. So many. Okay, so let's get worse. There was a time when he used to volunteer at a North of England General Hospital, Leeds Royal Infirmary. And in this place, he was afforded the he would volunteer as the night porter. So when people died, he would port them down. He'd take them, you know, down on their gurney down to the mortuary. The stories that have come out many, many times, many people witnessed this, were that he would, what did he do? He would take photos with them. He would use them like mannequins. They would pose them. They would dress them up. They would have sex with them. It was, oh God, you know, this is where I started going a bit kind of pale, but, yeah. So, basically, the reports are that Saville not only molested living people, but also dead people. He was a necrophile. you think this guy couldn't be any worse. It gets worse, right? So there he goes. So he's a Satanist, he's a necrophile, he's a pedophile, he's a molester, he liked girls, he liked women, he'll do anything to anybody. He always wore jog pants. now it appears because you could, you know, just quickly whip them up. So. Right. So, he was very familiar with the moving of dead bodies. And so that may have been an outlet for the satanic rituals as well, is that he would take them straight to the morgue. You know, oh, look, dead on arrival. There we go. Sign this. But there must have been a bit of an overflow at some time, and so he got his mate Peter Sutcliffe to help him bury a few bodies, and then when they found them, turns out that Savile threw Sutcliffe under the bus, but they must have done a deal, because Sutcliffe and Savile had this relationship where, you know, Savile basically had the keys to the criminal, mentally insane hospital where the Yorkshire Ripper was so-called, apparently, imprisoned. But Savile could walk in. In fact, Savile had this arrangement with at least 20 children's homes and hospitals throughout Britain and the Channel Isles. So this guy was really, really connected. We'll get darker in the next hour. Welcome back to Journeys with JP, and we're journeying down, down, down into more of the darkness that infiltrates, that lays as a thread, as a dark thread underneath our society, hidden by a very thin, old and frayed canvas sheet. And some of the threads have been sticking out. One thread that was sticking out was Jimmy Savile, and I've been talking about him for the last hour. Well, him and his friends, is the friends of Jimmy Savile, who now all turn out to be paedophilic Satanists. And so we're now looking at people who we called celebrities, the first celebrities that we, you know, they used to be great men. They used to be great men and women who did amazing things. Madame Curie, you know, Nikola Tesla, all those people. They were fucking they were amazing people. I'm just having a quick look at the thing here. That's right. Okay, we'll look at that in a second. Thank you. Thank you, Bright Eyes. This is Cyril Smith stuff. So anyway, we had Jimmy Savile and his friends. Now, Cyril Smith, as I was mentioning, he is a politician with the Liberal Party. It really doesn't matter, you know. he was like a tick. He was like Albert. He was probably the embodiment of Albert on this planet. As Bright Eyes has just posted here, Cyril Smith had at least 144 complaints of sexual abuse, but all attempts at prosecution were blocked. Okay, so let's have a look at the structure of why people like this can get away with it. How people like this can get away with it. All these years. For so long. There's a simple, very, very simple explanation. But it's hard to believe, because we want to believe those people who we used to believe in. We want to believe that doctors are telling us the truth when we go to them, and they'll tell us what's wrong with us and how we can be made better. We want a lawyer to help us win in our day in court. An attorney, a lawyer. Right. We want a psychologist to sort us out. We want a psychiatrist to make us better with these pills. Everywhere along this road. Actually, I'll just add a couple more. We want the police to protect us, to protect the innocent, to protect the women, and to protect the children. Isn't that what we pay them for? Isn't that why we're there, why they're there? We want schools to tell us the truth so that we can make right choices, so we can have a good life. We want newspapers to tell us the truth so that we can make right choices in our lives. Now it turns out, welcome to the 21st century, where everything turns out to have been a lie. Everything. Where it turns out that there is a silent, secret network that connects all of these professions at the highest levels. And at these highest levels, they're operating in worse than self-interest mode. They are vampirically attaching themselves to every single human being and draining every ounce of juice, every ounce of love, every ounce of money, every moment of their lives, drawing energy away from what is an infinite being, you know? Every child that has been molested has had their life stolen. Not only that time where they're abused, but all times afterwards. There is an energy that goes to the perpetrator because it's a satanic ritual. So, meanwhile, lots of goods. Yes. Yes, Colin. Lots of goods. And essentially that's how their system operates. So we've got the Bullingdon Club with their system of destruction. We have serial killers, who it appears are the disposal boys. Let's put it that way. All right, here we go. Because it has to be part of it. The snuff movie trade. Okay, snuff movies. Everybody thought, oh, that's not real. Snuff movies aren't real. But it turns out that as long as we've had medium, as long as we've had, you know, things you could record things on, people have been recording torture and rape and sex and pedophilia and selling it to other people for them to enjoy, if joy would be the word that you could use, or vicariously abuse. Child porn is not a recent phenomenon. It's been around as long as there's been porn. And it turns out that it's the elites who like this stuff. And, oh, by the way, the other thing is, when they say sacrificing a virgin, what's a virgin? It's not a young one. No, a virgin is a child. Let's just get it clear. let's just really drag, you know, bring everything out. Everything that we've been told is a lie. And this is more the way it is. I wouldn't say it is the way it is, but this is more the way it is. So, snuff movies are part of the satanic network. After a while of doing horrendous sexual activity, you have to get more and more intense in order to get the same kind of feeling. It's a bit like, you know, being habituated to a drug. So it has to get more and more weird, more and more intense. There were people who were getting into asphyxophilia. That's how Michael Hutchins died, it appears. Who knows? Maybe somebody just pulled it a little too tight. Or didn't let go. So, Snuff movies are distributed through networks. It also appears that there are movies that are connected with these so-called high-profile child missing cases. That they're somehow rubbing our face in it. Because they're saying, oh, look, there's this little child missing, and look at the parents, and oh, they're totally innocent. Or are they? Oh, yes, they are. Where the other back channel says, oh, yes, this poor child is being... Oh, don't even want to talk about it. Anyway, child trafficking is part of this. Child trafficking, body disposal, it's all a branch of the day-to-day activities of what I've become to call the death industry. So, how do we stop this? We have to unfund the death industry. So, if you want to personally take out your investment into this activity, the death industry. The death industry is satanic. It's got to be. I mean, when I say it's got to be, it's because it is, you know. It's like, we'll have your bodies. Oh yes, we can squeeze a little bit more energy out. Yes. All of these networks, they all culminate behind in the banks and the churches, because they're all part of the death industry, and the death industry is run by the Jesuits. Where else, you know? Who else put all the skulls under the Vatican? And where are these skulls? Whose are they? Yeah. Well, we'll talk about Capensis. Maybe Capensis. Here's the thing. Okay, who's Capensis? Capensis is Homo Capensis. These are the conehead fellows who sort of appear almost like us, except they got these long bulbous heads, or the big kind of pumpkin head. Pumpkin, you know, cone heads. You've seen them in Egypt. They got the headdresses. So, why do they have them in the Vatican? Because there are cone heads in the Vatican, and why do they have these big hats? So that nobody can tell which ones they are. But you can be pretty sure that some of these old bishops are these Capensis fellows. Now, in our further investigation, Capensis was involved in the channeling of energy to the large entity that was at the bottom of the Vatican. Now, this thing is turning inside out, and this is why we're able to talk about this. Yeah, if you come into the Wolf Spirit chat room, you must please make yourself a nickname. Otherwise, you'll get you'll get thrown off straight away. Summary. Anyway, so this is getting. Where are we? So, what are they doing in the chat room? So, if anybody wants me to stop talking about this and talk about something else, I'd be very happy. If you want to call in and talk about rainbows and unicorns, please do, because it's like my hobby. But like you say, it's like the true detective thing. You know, we all have this kind of, is it a morbid fascination? I don't know if it's morbid, but I want to know what's going on. Personally, and I think you do. That's why you listen to this. This is what this is all about. This is what the internet radio is all about. It's finding out what is going on right at this time. So, I'm very happy to continue talking if anybody's... Yeah, well, I'm losing listeners, but I don't care. Obviously, there's enough people here who are interested, and I'll continue. So, Yes, thank you. Thank you, Cortex. Capensis heads. You can see them. I'll just transfer that link into the other chat room there. Thanks very much, Cortex. Yeah, I'll just drop that in. So, who's do the radio commentary? Yes. It is GP. JP. So, anyway, meanwhile, we're talking about Sabul. Capensis is these earth creatures. They do not care about us. They predate upon us. They are our predators, you know. They particularly like the energy of young children. And the old, you know, it's a bit of a cliche, you know, sacrificing virgins to Satan. Well, that's what children are. Children are the virgins. You know, let's not cloud it with use of language that is deceiving. Because that's their job. You know, that's what they do. But let's say, you know, when they say sacrifice virgin, they're talking about sacrificing and torturing children. So, now we've got that clear. We have now a further idea of what the connection between Satanism and paedophilia is. Because it turns out that if you torture someone and traumatize someone, then that creates a coloring, a flavoring of the energy that is extracted through the ritual ceremony. You know, Aleister Crowley talked about all this stuff. About, you know, again, really horrible things you don't really want to know about. You might not want to listen to the archive of this again. Anyway, I have to get it out though, because this is what's coming up this week. And I may be speaking with, or I'd like to speak very much with other people about this. So it is a worldwide ring. So yes, Dolly, I'm still talking about it. Anyway, meanwhile, we're looking at the satanic paedophile rings that have been behind serial murderers. The serial murder is a false story that is actually about, who knows? Hannibal Lecter may actually exist. Cannibalism is a whole other thing, right? I'm not going to go there. Because, you know, so far tonight, we've done snuff movies. We've done necrophilia. You know, let's leave a few areas, you know, just for the mystery. Just to leave it for the moment, you know. People might be eating dinner. Good God. Yeah. Eating an egg. So, all right. I don't know what's going on with the chat room here. Uh-huh. So, Ashana, right. So there's, yeah, well, they're talking about demon worship on the show on the other channel. So we are carrying on a particular zeitgeist at the moment. So maybe I should just carry on with this. Okay, so satanic worship involves extracting energy from a virgin, or otherwise known as a child. Right. So a child is tortured, and please, Dolly, don't listen to this. a child becomes the energy is extracted from that energy. Now I've been discussing this in my shows with Katie Galanti about the whole process of it, and we go into much more detail, and you can download the out of the box archives. Katie Galanti's got a YouTube channel on them. And you can also download them from the Wolf Spirit Radio archives and my archives on everbeyondradio.com. If you look in them, we'll be talking many times about the process of the large rituals. So, so I'm going to plug a little bit in from there. One of the things, you know, like the nugget of it, which is, okay. So, satanic ritual part one is that, there'll be like a Super Bowl type event where there'll be a Madonna-like thing going on. And you've seen them in the last few years and they're really intense and they're like, oh, they're awkward. Awful things, you know, really awkward feeling kind of, things that weren't really entertaining at all. And they're full of dark imagery and, bad boys, you know, all this stuff. And, but what you'll also find is that there'll be a murder just before. Someone famous will die. Now, I have been investigating, also this week, now, what is it? The Illuminati Music Expose, by Farhan Khan. It's on YouTube, and I think it's the I think the search terms. You just look for music business Illuminati, and you'll find it, and you'll see full versions. It's made up of little segments. The full version has them all tagged together. And he finished that in about 2012. Very good. Made by a friend of the, of Michael Jackson. And possibly was financed by him, in a kind of backdoor way. A very well made video. And it kind of goes into the detail of Marshall Mathers, Eminem, who you hear him having a dream in the morning, and the dream he's walks into his into the rehab place, and the guy who's you know, like supervising the rehab, yeah, how you doing, Marshall? Yeah, everything's kind of normal for a while. And he says, oh, okay, well, you can go now. You can check out. And and Masters are saying, well, you know, don't I have to do the 12-step program? Ah, no, you don't have to worry about that. Really? Oh, no, no. Go and have a party, you know. But what if I go to a party and I see alcohol? You know, oh, yeah, just go and have some, you know. What? Go and have some. And the guy's voice changes into the devil's voice, you know, into this deep, dark voice. And so this turns out it's a dream. It's like the dream that he has every night. Basically Eminem admittedly has sold his soul to the devil. So what does that mean? Selling your soul to the devil? Well, many people have talked about it and they mention these characters. Rain Man. Many of them talk about the Rain Man. And under my umbrella, Ella, 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 Ella. The Rain Man. Who's the Rain Man? Is it rain? Golden rain? That's one of Cliff Richard's favorite things. But the Rain Man is the one who rains benefits on you. And he reigns over you. And so whatever your deal is, whatever your, you know, whether you want riches, fame, whatever you want, that's what you get. And you'll be facilitated all along the way to doing whatever you wanted to do. And that's the deal. That's the deal with the devil. And so if you look at the Illuminati Music Exposed, you'll see a lot of it. And the Rain Man is otherwise known as Baphomet, you know, the goat head guy with the horns and the mudra pointing up, looking like, is it George Washington? all this stuff. Oh, God, George Washington. All right, Baphomet. Anyway... Yes, right. There are two frequencies of it. I'm just checking on the chat rooms there. Yeah. Wow. There's a lot going on the other side. Meanwhile, back in Satanic Worship Land, we had the Rain Man. So the Rain Man is the guy who rains benefits on you. He can give you whatever you want, and he is indeed the devil. And you don't generally back out of the deal. And if you do try to back out of the deal, that's when you get destroyed. Often I think they apply enough pressure so everybody would want to, and so they've made their millions off Eminem. You know, they get their pound of flesh, and then they'll ruin them and discredit them. And there's always this reference in their songs to the Rain Man, all that stuff, umbrellas, Ella. And that's their, what's the word, acknowledgement, paying their dues. You know, they say, I pay your dues to the devil. That's what it's about. You have to mention him. A word from our sponsors. So, I'm very lucky that I haven't. Thank you very much, old ones. I'm very, very pleased that I haven't. Yes, super soldiers. Yes, meanwhile, Jimmy Savile, Jimmy Page. Yes, Jimmy Page. Famous for buying Aleister Crowley's castle. Meanwhile, back at the Prime Minister of Britain, several years ago, I'm just jumping around a little bit because it's such a big story. Another thread, and this is one of the threads that I personally picked up on a few years ago because it's local. There was a little Aberdeen girl and she had Down syndrome, and when she was six, her father started raping her, and after a while he started sharing her with various people. And when she was 30, she started being able to speak and communicate, and she was pointing the finger at all these people, and they turned out to be the doctor, the lawyer, the solicitor, the social worker, the judge, the whole local Freemason lodge. Anyway, so this story is buried hard. And anytime you mention it, you can't talk about it on TV, you can't talk about it on the radio. There are what are known as D notices, which is a gagging order, to silence. So you can't mention her name in a newspaper article, for instance, because it comes under this gag order. So why is the molestation of a now 30-year-old Down syndrome child, why is that worthy of a D notice? The sort of thing that you would only use in order to justify like a defense secret where you're developing a secret weapon and you don't want that to be found out. That's what you use a D notice for. You know, the Manhattan Project kind of thing. Not to keep silent the story of a 30-year-old Down syndrome child. So, if you Google Holly Gregg, HOLLY GREIG, which was a little kind of subtle campaign we were doing a few years ago, Google Holly Gregg, because what happens is you look at this and then again, you tug on this little thread. So, like I said, the first little clue along the, you know, first little knot on this thread is that, it was completely silenced by the powers that be. You can't even get a local newspaper to cover the story. And, you know, we've tried. A investigator from England, his name was Robert Green, heard about this story, started investigating. He was a journalist. Caught onto the story and started pulling at some of these threads. And it turns out that one of the threads that he pulled on connects one of the men who was connected with the father of Holly Gregg. His name was Thomas Hamilton. You Google Thomas Hamilton, and you'll find that he was the shootist of the school shooting in Dunblane in Scotland. Now, Dunblane is not far from here. I actually know people from Dunblane. You know, it's like people I know. So, it's a very local story. Now, Dunblane, when was that? It was about 15 years ago, I think now. But the man who did the shooting, who was then subsequently shot, was named Thomas Hamilton. And it turns out that Hamilton, at that time, was the procurer for a certain paedophile ring that the father of Holly Gregg belonged to. So that's where the thread leads, to a paedophile ring. Thomas Hamilton was given his shotgun license by Lord Robertson, who at the time was the Procurator Fiscal, which is like the Attorney General. The Lord Robertson was also accused of paedophilia. He was taken out of his job and moved into the UN. And now he's the Secretary General of the UN. Think about that, brothers and sisters. Okay, now we know where this comes from. So, turns out that the man who was shooting at the children was a procurer of children. So my theory on this is that the children were starting to talk. And he went in and he killed the children who were involved in the paedophile ring, who he would procure. And then another one of them came in and killed Hamilton, shot him. Because Hamilton, you know, must have shot himself. Yeah. Because, you know, we know how they do these things. It's like, oh, duh, right. You know, it's the same pattern every time. You know, don't people see this? So, the interesting thing is that stories were told about this, and they said that we can't uncover this. The police were saying we can't uncover this because it goes all the way to Westminster. So we're now looking at the Aberdeenshire area, and guess what? Brothers and sisters, who lives in Aberdeenshire? There's a castle. It's called Balmoral. It's in Aberdeenshire, brothers and sisters. Okay, so now we have several facts that we've laid down. We've laid down that there was a child who was molested. This child identified without any cues, you know, without being prompted, identified several members of the local establishment. One of them was the man who shot the children at Dunblane School. Where would the children have been taken? We have already heard about the Queen and missing children in Australia, in Canada. So, we may be also seeing here a link between the Queen and other high-ups. And I can't hear any black helicopters. Yeah, it's funny. The Queen and high-ups and Aberdeenshire, and this ring involving the Procurator Fiscal, Lord Robertson. But at the same time, there is another thread, and this is the thread of Gordon Brown. Gordon Brown was the British Prime Minister. He wasn't actually ever elected because he took over as Tony's number two when Tony Blair was ousted, when he resigned in disgrace and humility, it seems. Right, so now we're finding out that Blair is not only homosexual. He's a cross-dresser. He likes to expose himself to people in toilets. No kidding. No kidding. He was busted on Hampstead Heath in North London. I don't know. Doing stuff. Again, you can look this up. He used his middle names to stop himself being identified, but you can look up, you know, Google Tony Blair, pedophile, da-da-da. They're all at it. They're all at it. Gordon Brown was an intelligent man. He was the Chancellor of the Exchequer. And there was a thing that happened, which was that there was a point when gold was sold, the British gold was sold at rock bottom prices, and it turns out that the background to that story was that some of Brown's friends needed a favor so that their short would be covered so that they wouldn't collapse. And these were probably friends from Goldman Sachs. As we know, Goldman Sachs runs the world and is probably the place. If you want to find a whole bunch of pedophiles, you could probably look in Goldman Sachs, you know, douse them all out. Anyway, so Gordon Brown, Tony Blair's number two, came in, and at some point he sold all the British gold, or a third of the British gold, at rock bottom prices. A completely insane thing to do. No human being in their right mind would sell this. You know, it's like we're in the middle of a recession and he's selling the gold. They called it Brown's Bottom. Now, it's not too much of a stretch of the imagination that all of these naughty things that these guys get on and do might be recorded, might be videotaped. Maybe from several angles. And it may be that Mr. Brown was persuaded to do this amazingly insane thing because of a film he might have been shown, or a couple of photos that were sent to him. This is the kind of level that we're talking about. This is what it's all about. This is how control happens. You might want to do something, or you might be asked to do something that you don't really want to do, and then you might get a package that persuades you that that's what actually you want to do, isn't it? Yes. So, Brown's Bottom. Investigate that. Lots of things you can Google from this show. Maybe somebody might has taken some notes. That would be a good thing. Anyway. Ooh. That is really hard to read, Patrick. So, pedophile rings, mass murder, serial killers. It may be that school shootings are entire false flag operations. And as we know, they do like a twofer. So, if somebody needs to be killed, they've probably got a list. They've probably got a list of all the people that have been involved in these rings. And it's not a list. What am I talking about? It's a database. It may be all automated. This whole thing may be completely automated. Not one person makes a decision. It's just done by a computer. You know, somebody gets a printout or maybe even a text message. And boom, there it is. You know, a name. That's all it takes. They do the rest. Taken care of. So, the dark world of Britain. We thought Royal Britain was cool. Nope. Turns out that the Queen's, basically the biggest drug dealer on the world, in the world. She's she makes a lot of profits from heroin. They produce morphine. That's the official, you know, there is an official pharmaceutical company that produces morphine out of Edinburgh, actually. And it's it's licensed. I don't know what it's called. I can't remember. I think it's like the British Edinburgh Morphing Company, or the British East India Morphing Company, or something like that. Morphine and its derivative heroin is produced probably under license from them. You know, they probably even have it in packets. You know, they probably got all proper printed packets and stuff. Anyway. The heroin trade. Satanism. Pedophilia. Necrophilia. Where else can we go? Maybe let's go to the park and let's talk about some hope. Is there hope? I think the biggest hope is the fact that I'm able to talk about this and I'm not having any weird Skype problems. And, I don't know. Okay. What it's for. Okay, so right. Okay, so Cortex asking this. Please address the reason for all these rings and the energy from these acts. What it is for, referring to the Vatican Jabba. Right. Now, a few weeks ago, I told a story about this creature which lived at the bottom of the Vatican. It may be worthwhile, unless you're really clear and really compassionate, not kind of investigating that for yourself too much. Because there may be still residual darkness there. It wouldn't be a good place to just casually wander into. You have to be very clear and very open. So what we remote viewed was this enormous creature, like an enormous tick, like an enormous Cyril Smith, in fact. About 40 feet high, about 30 feet wide, red and black. And it would suck out energy. It was a kind of psychic energy transfer node. It's a machine, organic machine. And I have no proof for this. I have absolutely no proof for this. This is all a kind of, remote viewing experience. Not just me, though. This is in conjunction with Rebecca Jernigan, and other people have seen this thing too. So what we looked at was why and what it was wanting. It was it used energy. It was like a wick, I suppose. Say you have or a pipeline, an oil pipeline. Yeah, an oil pipeline. Let's look at it like that. It was the transfer node for an oil pipeline, but the oil isn't oil, it's essence. It's the spirit essence, which travels through the rings of pedophilia and Satanism and is concentrated, I believe, through the Jesuits and thus through into the Homo Capensis and thus into Albert, and thence to wherever it goes. Because, like we say, Albert is a transfer node, or was a transfer node. As far as I know, Albert is dead. No, Albert is dead. We witnessed his kind of passing, really. And this is a few months ago. And it's all part of... Perhaps it's the extraterrestrial cleanup. Perhaps these things have outlived their life. Perhaps they've reached the end of their ability to stay alive. Who knows? The blob. Yeah. Are trees people? Yeah. Trees are people too. Anyway. So we had this thing, and the satanic energy is used. The energy, so, all right, so let's talk about this a little bit. So, when a human being is traumatized, their emotional output is increased. And the more they're traumatized, the more they'll release. It's like, if you poke someone, they'll squeal. If you poke them hard, they'll squeal harder. And on a psychic level, there's an energy that is released. And that energy is the energy that these predatory beings consume. All sorts of things consume it. It's love. It's love energy. It's pure. That's why children, virgins, are pure. They'll be pure love. It gets harder to talk about every time I do it. Anyway, so when a child is involved in this ritual, the ritual is a channeling of that energy, and it channels through the leader and channels into the group that they belong to, plus the whatever supervisor of that particular cell group, all the way back up into the place where it starts. And I believe that that place is the Vatican, and that the major receivers of this energy are members of the Homo Capensis race, the Coneheads, and they transmit in turn that energy into the being that we called, rather jokingly, Paul, for a good reason, Albert. So, Albert, yes, good night, Albert. So that's what the I believe the reasons for the rings are. The rings also have an ability, because it's a psychic network. There are benefits. You know, these people are obviously, as you see, successful. That's what you pay for. that's what the deal with the devil gives you. It gives you the success that naked raw ambition creates. So, might be worthwhile having a look at that, folks. What naked raw ambition? You know, I'll do whatever it takes. Okay, so people do whatever it takes, and whatever it takes is horrendous. Do you really want to? Anyway, I'm sure that people who are listening to this are not in that kind of position to take on that. I mean, they're not young musicians or actors or this or that. Oh, another worthwhile mention is Dave Chappelle. He is a stand-up comedian who's started talking about this kind of stuff. You know, people say, I sold my soul to the devil. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, you know, it means you do what you do. Nothing else. You do what you do, and you get the rewards. And if you stop doing it, if you start biting the hand that feeds you, then we'll ruin you, or kill you, or your family, or both, or all three. So, we then look at people like, Courtney Love, and the people that she's been hanging around with, and Amy Winehouse, and who she was hanging around with. And it turns out, when we look at the video with Eminem in it, he's talking about how he gets, so we talked earlier about the oath taking of the joining of the Bullingdon Club. Similarly, to join the Illuminati, one of the things is you have to kill a person who you love. And that person might be someone in your family, your child, and so that you have to sacrifice. That's what the sacrifice is. You have to kill, sacrifice that which you love. Now, that you think that's something? Do you think that's unusual? Do you think that's not normal? Do you think? Well, let's go back thousands and thousands of years to a purported time when Avram and Yahweh were having a conversation and saying, you know, okay, you're going to kill your son for me to show you how committed you are to my way. Oh, of course, Yahweh. Perfectly happy to kill my son. Okay, well, He was just about to write. No, that's all right. You don't have to do that. We can see. We can see you're a psychopath. That you'll do. So, very early recognition of this particular ritual, that in order to get with the gods, you have to kill, you have to sacrifice, that's what you love in a ceremony. So, we look at Eminem, and there's a character, his best buddy, his homie, who is called Proof. And at a certain point in their career, Eminem made a video in which Proof is shot from a car. Drive by. All very laid out in graphic detail. Obviously, he's alive, but it's a special effect. But turns out 2 years later, that's exactly what happens to Proof. And it may well be that Eminem was the guy holding the trigger. So, the oath-taking ceremony is you have to kill that which you love. And so we're now going to look, or we can now look, at every celebrity death that you've seen in the last 10 years and just see if they have a friend who might potentially be a member of the Illuminati. The Illuminati. All right. We've gone down a very, very dark rabbit hole today. I think you can all go and make yourself a cup of tea, have a piece of cake, have some ice cream, do something that'll make you feel happy. Watch a comedy show, maybe not Frankie Boyle. Have a wonderful week. I've had to get this off my chest because this is what I've been reading up about. If anybody's interested, get in touch with me. I'm very happy to talk about this kind of stuff. I want to expose it. I want these people out of our lives. I want a happy life. Brothers and sisters, we have a new world to build. This world must be clear all the way from the top, all the way down to the bottom. We have to eliminate these bankers. We have to eliminate. That's what they're doing. Let's not have any illusions. They are not our friends. So, having destroyed your trust in the entertainment media and the government, I bid you farewell. I've done my job. This has been Journeys with JP, a Wolf Spirit Radio, Revolution Radio, Ever Beyond Radio production. Thank you for listening. Please, if you enjoyed the show, actually go and donate some money and get some archives. Donate some money, buy a seed pack. My tomatoes are great. The tomatoes are particularly magic. They're enormous, growing like little forests. Get the seed pack. Score one. Unfund the death industry, brothers and sisters. Figure out ways of doing that. There's a million ways of unfunding the death industry, and the first thing you have to do is recognize when you're contributing to it. Huh. The bell should have gone off by now. Anyway, so thank you very much for enduring this 2-hour show. It has been quite difficult for me. But thank you very much for listening. Do stay tuned for extra stuff that is going to be even more entertaining and maybe even more interesting than this. You are listening to Ever Beyond Radio and No Borders Radio and Revolution Radio and Wolf Spirit Radio. And where's the bleep bleep? There we are. Good night, everybody. Go and have some ice cream. Have something sweet. Have some honey in your tea. Have a beautiful week. Be kind to your fellow men. Be loving. Thank you. Good night.